We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Vav, the fifth chapter of Shara Gava. We had been discussing arrogance. The first four chapters we discussed spiritually what a person loses by being arrogant. And now we will discuss the practical applications in this world. What does a person lose when he is arrogant? Rishona. Firstly, arrogance is a prime cause for a person to draw hatred. All who perceive him hate him. This is the rule for someone who is arrogant, who takes pride, and is in constant pursuit of honor. Asher gam bnei veito ochelei lachmo yisnu oto. Even his own family, who he supports, even his own family who eats the bread he brings home, hate him. Ke'omram zal, as our sages taught in Tractate Baba Basra, kol amityaher, anyone who is arrogant, afilu al anshei veito lo mitkabel. Even the people in his own house don't like him. Even the people in his own house don't accept what he has to say. And this is a very, very, very key point. Very often, people do things that are counterproductive. They like being arrogant with their kids, with their wife. They come home and they tell her, you know how smart I am, you know what a great deal I made, you know. And they're coming home and they're trying to show off, and they don't realize that the more they try to show off, the less value they really have. It's interesting because I know a family where the husband is very, very, I would call it beyond modest. I would say he lacks self-esteem. And he always speaks about how his wife is great, and his wife is smart, and his wife is a tzaddikus, and he's always praising other people. He praises the kids, he never takes any credit. And the kids all look up to him. The kids all value him. You'd think he's never selling himself. He's never telling them what a great guy he is. He's always telling them how great they are, and how much he appreciates them, and how great his wife is, and I think he lacks self-confidence. I think it's beyond the healthy balance. But that doesn't matter. You see the kids. You see how much they value him, how much they do look up to him. And it's interesting that sometimes it's like a boomerang. If you try to sell it, it comes back to haunt a person. If a person tries to convince his kids how great he is, they don't buy it. And the reason behind it, why doesn't it work? Because arrogance is really a lie. Arrogance is where a person keeps trying to show and take credit for things which really he doesn't have the right to take credit for much of what he does. We discussed this when we discussed modesty, that at the root of modesty is truth. If I recognize that there are so many people involved in every success, and there are so many people who have so many talents, so then I can be honest, and a person can be humble. There are many stories to this effect. Many of the great rabbis were so modest, even in their own home. They didn't protest. They didn't insist that their opinion has to count. You guys know the story of Hillel. Hillel and the delayed lunch, yeah. Hillel comes home with an important guest, and Hillel comes home with an important guest, and his wife knows he's supposed to come home with this guest. Now remember, Hillel is the Nasi, he's the prince, the equivalent of the king at that time. And his wife is supposed to prepare a regal meal. And they're sitting there, and 5 minutes pass, and 10 minutes pass, and he's schmoozing with the guest, waiting for her to serve the meal. And a half hour passes, and an hour passes, and an hour and a half passes. And finally, the wife walks in with the meal. And it took her as long as it would have taken had she started from scratch. So he asks her lovingly. In those days, they used the term BT, which was be like today, my beloved. He says, what happened today? She said, well, I had the whole meal ready. And then someone came to the door who was exceptionally poor and hungry. And I knew you would have wanted me to give him the food. So I gave him the food and I started from scratch. I went and got meat all over again. I cooked it. I did everything from scratch. So you'd think Hillel would stomp on the table and say, well, I'm your husband. You knew I was coming home. I have an important guest. How could you do that to me? Nope. Hillel tells her, thank you very much. Kol hakavod to you. His modesty, his consistent modesty and acceptance, that was his hallmark, and that's why he was so appreciated in his own home. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, there are famous stories about him that go the same way. All kinds of stories where he was super, super patient, even though there were ridiculous things going on. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell you the name, but there's a very, very big rabbi. We learn his farm over here. Everyone in Israel learns his farm. And I won't say his name. I'm not sure it's right because you'll hear the story now. He builds the sukkah. And his wife comes out and says, honey, why'd you build the sukkah there? It would be much better on the other side of the yard. And he tells her, you know, this is where we built the sukkah every year. Are you sure you want it on the other side of the yard? She says, yeah, it would be much better there. I'm sorry for all the work. I know you finished building it, but it would be much better on the other side of the yard. So he says, fine, if that's what you want, okay. Takes apart the sukkah, takes it to the other side of the yard, and builds it all over again. He finishes building it. His wife comes out and says, wow, honey, you know what? You were right. You were right. It's much better where you did it the first time. So again, what do you think he'd say? You know how many sfarim I have to write? You know what I could have done with this time? I had the patience to move it once. Now you want me to move it a second time, and we would all understand him if he reacted that way. But he didn't. That was his greatness. It's not in the written work, it's in the life these rabbis led, the humility. So these rabbis were valued in their own home. Humility is when people start valuing a person for real. This is one of the great challenges. You never know how will they view you at home, right? There's a saying that goes, behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes. Why is she rolling her eyes? Because she knows the real him. You all think you know him. I know him, right? But if he's humble, so then the real him isn't trying to sell a load of goods. So then there's real appreciation.
No man's a cock in his own land, right?
That's Muhammad said. We don't say that. We don't say that.
Basically, you know someone well enough. Oftentimes, you see their faults, and technically, you love them anyway. But I think.
So I'm saying that if a person's humble, if a person has true humility, so then the people at home should appreciate him even more.
And the opposite of humility, I find usually, stems from insecurity, because when you really know your gifts, is like we talked about when we talked in the past. You know, one's efforts, thank God, but without the gifts. You know, it could have been, as we see, greatest mind could be struck in a heartbeat with a stroke, with this, with that. Could be so, you know, it's to be arrogant, you know, I brush my teeth, you know, I have 190 IQ, it's civil. You know, like, right?
That famous rabbi wrote the sukkah. Does he have a nickname where the second letter of the first word is kaf, and the second letter of the second word is lamed?
No.
No?
Okay. Sorry. No. The ilat ze yan ki agava idva sheker ki keshet remia. So why is it that when a person is arrogant in his own home, they don't value him, they can't stand him? Because it's all a lie. V'tahan mesibon mechuvanot belev ba'alai mitapechet bifulotea. And when a person's arrogant, so there's constant turmoil within. There is always that thought, how will they appreciate me? How will they listen to this and say, wow, what a great guy? Because in a person's arrogant, He's always walking out and he's trying to show off. What's he showing off? He's always trying to show off something. So that his friends will value him, and the more people can respect him and value him, the happier he is. But the truth is that the exact opposite happens. There's a fire that burns instead of the honor. In truth, he repeatedly leads himself to shame. And instead, he will find himself satiated from shame instead of honor. Because really what happens is he reveals. He's constantly revealing his blind spots. When a person's humble, so he's not taking credit. He isn't stressing, look at how great I am. So then, if you catch him on something, he says, okay, I made a mistake. He never claimed he knew everything by heart. When a person comes and he claims he's so great, so then you have a problem. We had a fantastic story. One of our children had breathing issues. And when he was born, he started having difficulty breathing. And we went to a certain doctor that came highly recommended. We were told he's the top lung specialist in the country. Okay, we went to him, and he diagnosed, after hearing the story, 3 to 5 minutes, finished, he decided what the diagnosis is. Fine, 3 weeks pass, 4 weeks pass, and the kid's on medication, and we feel like the situation is getting worse, not better. We come to him, we try explaining it to him, we didn't even finish the story, and he's come up with the diagnosis, we're upping the medication. Okay, so he needs more medication now. We tried saying, you know, did you understand that this and this is what we saw? This is when it seemed better. This is when it seemed worse. And we don't see any correlation with the medication. Yeah, I heard you fine. Okay, ups the medication. We're not happy. We start looking for another doctor. Every doctor we call is his student. Every doctor we could find, they were all his students. So what are you going to his students for? And the story continues another month. And the situation is getting worse, not better. And again, we tried talking to the doctor, and we got nowhere. I had reached a point where he yelled at us, what are you coming to me for? So he said, we're coming to you because the situation is getting worse. He said, great, okay, we're going to up the medication again. Wait, but did you understand that the medication is not helping? Who's the doctor, me or you? Okay. We reach a point where he decides he's going to multiply the medication by 10 times. So the kid's already on steroids. He's swollen like this. And the doctor says, okay, it's life or death. You have to do it. So I said, wait a second. You think he's going to die this week if we don't do it? He said, I can't answer that. I said, you want to give him 10 times the dosage of steroids? And you're not even, you haven't verified the situation. So he looks me in the eye and he says, the kid will live or die. It's on your head. This is what you have to do. And if you want to play games, his life is your fault, what's going on here. I told you what to do. And walks out of the room. So now I have no one to talk to. I speak to his assistants, which are also top doctors, and they say, he's the expert. If this is what he said, I wouldn't go against what he said. So I said, yeah, but do you really think, I don't see the situation changing in 1 week. I don't think a week is really that critical. I think we do have time to do a little more research before we up the medication like that. This doesn't make sense. The kid is breathing. It's not that he isn't breathing. And it doesn't change overnight. I don't buy it. But I didn't know who to turn to. So I called a top referral agency in the country. And I speak to the person in charge there. And I tell him the doctor I'm seeing. And he tells me, oh boy, why are you going to him? I said, he's the best. He said to me, yeah, he's the best on the books. But he's not the best because he never listens. In theory, he's the best. He doesn't listen to the patients. The fact that in knowledge, he's the best, and he's the best teacher, and he's on the medical records, he's the best, but he's not the best doctor. He won't listen to you. I said, right, that's what I experienced. He said to me, okay. So he referred me. 5 minutes later, we were on the phone with a guy who happens to hide his credentials because he's the head of another department. He's the head of a big department, so he doesn't have time to deal with this on a daily basis. So he's not showing off his credentials. An old man in his 70s, but he is really the best. Meaning, this guy, whenever he has questions, he turns to him. So this referral agency got us into him 5 minutes later. I call up this doctor. 5 minutes later, I have him on the phone. and the doctor says, you know what, I have to go into surgery in an hour. I'm in Tel Aviv. You guys are in Yerushalayim. I don't think you're going to make it in an hour, and it's a pity you should drive yourself crazy. Here are my hours tomorrow. See what works for you. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow. Such a mensch. Humble, modest, pleasure to work with. The next day, he didn't. I was ready to rush over. He said to me, nothing's going to happen. Don't worry about it. I'll see you tomorrow. I come to him the next day. He looks at the kid and he says, he doesn't need any medication. Told me what it is. He said, it'll pass. I said, you know what? This doctor's been following him for 6 months now. Maybe you should talk to him. He said, fine, no problem. I call up the doctor. Now, he's the student, right? I say, do you mind calling this guy, the second doctor, the specialist? He says, I don't call. If he wants, he'll call me. I said, okay. Went back to the top specialist and asked him. I said, do you mind calling him just to make sure we didn't miss something? You know, I'm not a doctor. Maybe I didn't present the case correctly. He said, no problem. Wait right here. I'm calling him right now. He gets on the phone. He calls him up. He talks to him. And he says, okay, I hear what he's saying. And I disagree. He's wrong. And we'll prove it. And they scheduled us for a test. They took the child completely off medication. He didn't need any medication. It was a scar that passed on its own. He had a scratch in his throat. That was simply a scar that got inflamed, that passed on its own without anything. So here you have a doctor that's so haughty you can't talk to him. And that's his reputation. So all his credentials and the fact that he keeps telling patients, I'm not going to talk to you, I know what I'm talking about. He made a name for himself with all his credentials. The referral agencies in the country, they know he's not someone to work with. And he thinks he's gaining. He's losing. And he's losing medically. He's losing his reputation. That's what the Magid Miduvna says. When a person is so proud and arrogant, then he's repeatedly revealing his weakness. That's a weakness where a person thinks he's showing everyone how smart he is, when in fact he's repeatedly showing everyone where his weaknesses are. In fact, what happens is that a person publicizes how wicked and how self-centered he is. That a person that allows his arrogance to take off, he's foolish, he's wicked, and he's crass in his spirit. And in essence, he's repeatedly revealing the root of his evil inclinations, which again are the secret thoughts, which are always focused on, let me show everyone how great I am. Well, if that's the focus, then that's something, that's the first problem with arrogance, where the Magid Miduvna says, that's something which is practical, it's in this world, it has nothing to do with the world to come. In this world, arrogance shoots a person in the foot. And that was the first point. As we continue, he will show us other points. So again, his first point was that an arrogant person is hated. Even in his own home, people have a hard time respecting him, have a hard time being with him. And certainly outside the home, people are very quick to understand where he stands, where he's coming from, where he's headed to. And as much as he thinks he's gaining honor, he's really shooting himself in the foot.